Hello again. I'm not sure if this is going to be a full episode. It might be a sort of a half bonus episode. I've been getting a lot of emails from people asking for more resources. And in fact, I've been getting those emails almost right from the start when I started this little project. And I have some other people now writing as well. So it's probably worth spending a bit of time here. I'm going to write all this stuff up. I'll put it on my website as well. But I wanted to talk a little bit about where resources can come from. The first thing I'd want to say is there are a lot of people out there. You might not have come across these things because we live in little bubbles. And if you grow up in various conservative or evangelical or charismatic circles, you do tend to just read the same people over and over again and the same ideas swirl around. There are a lot of people out there saying and doing follower of Jesus type stuff. And I'm not making this up. The kind of things that you're liking, if you're hearing what I'm saying and you like it, or you've never heard it before and it's exciting your mind, well, I'm not making this up. I'm not the first person to be saying these things. So there's a whole world out there. There's a whole wider conversation. And I'm just going to list a few people here of voices that I think are worth paying attention to or worth listening to. And also, for me personally, as a rule of thumb, I have taken out of my life any Christian voice that doesn't explicitly recognize and reject nationalism. And I know there's people out there who say, oh, no, you just need to sift through the mud to find the pearls. But you know what? There's a lot of mud. And those pearls can be found elsewhere as well. And so some of the people that I'm going to talk about here, they have all the pearls, all the wisdom, all the lively connection to the Holy Spirit, without also the prior allegiance to a false god of nationalism. The prior commitment to patriotism leads people into directions where they have to falsify or distort or ignore key pillars and passages of the New Testament and key aspects of the way of Jesus. And for me, it's just not worth doing the work to sift through the crap in order to find the one or two nuggets of gold. It's just not worth it. And I found my gold in some great places other than that. And yes, this does mean, effectively, not reading almost any American evangelical author. Not all American evangelicals, of course, of course. And you'll even see on my list, there's a lot of Americans on this list. This is not an anti-American diatribe at all. But what it's saying is, if we're honest, the groups of people who explicitly recognize the distorting effect of patriotism on their theology don't tend to include American evangelicals or charismatics or indeed classical evangelicals of any nationality. And this is a topic for another discussion of the close connection between Protestant evangelicalism and nationalism. But it goes back to the roots. It goes right back to the Protestant Reformation itself. And I think this would be something we have to discuss later. Oh, well, in fact, it's described in one of the books I'm going to recommend to you by William Cavanaugh. The other thing I want to say about avoiding sources or being wary of sources as a rule of thumb is that there's a difference between intelligent people and educated people. This is not some kind of snobby elitist statement I'm making here. But a lot of the people that come out of the charismatic Destiny Image publishing type crowd or Charisma News type crowd, they are self-published or they are published by imprints, publishing houses, which are essentially vanity presses. These are authors who are intelligent, they are kind, they are sincere, they are well-meaning, they have a lot of life wisdom, but they are not educated. Their ideas have not been tested against their peers. They haven't been forced to defend themselves and their opinions against the body of collected knowledge and wisdom that comes out of actual study of these actual texts in their original languages or compared to other points of view that are represented by the wide body of Christian thought, which has happened for the last 2,000 years. A lot of these popular presses and a lot of the popular, I call them popular Christian paperbacks as a shorthand, are often just written by people who they maybe run a church or they run a large network or they have a big platform and they write their thoughts down. But these are not thoughts that have stood any kind of test. They haven't been judged by well-meaning, educated people. And in terms of the Bible, just because somebody quotes the Bible a lot or talks about the Bible or can list lots of references or verses, that's not the same as being biblically educated. And you have to pay attention to how many times a lot of these authors and then the systems that they come up with, their, you know, seven laws to spiritual success or 12 ways to conduct spiritual warfare or, you know, all those kind of systems that these especially charismatic authors are always coming up with, where you have to buy a whole series of books. And they will have a lot of Bible verses attached to them. But frankly, this is a lot of castles built on sand, because there's no engagement with the original text in their original languages. There's no engagement in these books with biblical scholars who actually understand what's going on and who care about it. And instead, there's a high anti-intellectualism culture amongst our evangelical and charismatic circles, which thinks that anybody who studies the Bible as a scholar or any theologian who's actually educated and trained in theology is somehow putting out the Spirit's fire or somehow anti-life and anti-Christian. I haven't found this to be true in my experience of actually working as an academic and who's somebody who calls himself a charismatic. It is true, of course, that too much study can kill a thing. But I have to say, in my experience of trying to read these people's books and their self-published little articles or their vanity press systems, that no study at all doesn't even bring life in the first place. They're just factually incorrect so many times. I mean, it's hard to even overemphasize how wrong people get basic facts all the time when you read their books. And there's nobody in their circles to call them out on it. And if anybody does try and call them out on it from outside the stable, they're treated as being arrogant and proud and elitist, and they're dismissed. And I would like to just say, when was the last time you heard your favorite charismatic or evangelical popular preacher admit that he was wrong about something in the Bible, or that he is speaking outside of his knowledge base, or that he was swimming in waters that were too deep for him and he needed to get some expert help? When was the last time you ever heard anybody publicly admit that? Okay. Now, in my field of academic theology and biblical studies, I hear people admit this all the time. I have not experienced pride in the same in the academic circles in the same way I experience it when I'm sitting in these large church auditoriums. The humility of the academic or scholarly community is a lot higher than you might expect. We're not all sitting around sniping and judging at each other. There is a genuine desire to learn. Quite often, there's a genuine public confession of ignorance or of mistakes being made or of seeking help. And this is something that I think the academic scholarly community, who is Christian, by the way, or followers of Jesus, I mean, these are the ones whose voice needs to be heard, and they need to be encouraged and told that they're not just laboring in the darkness. There's a genuine humility and intellectual curiosity that can go hand in hand. And if we can bring that back into our worshiping communities, it's going to be all the better for it. Okay, here's just a list of people. This is almost literally off the top of my head. I just scribbled down a whole lot of people whose voices I've been influenced by, whose books I really rate highly or who have changed my life. There's voices here who I follow on Facebook or social media. There's black people, white people, there's Canadians, Americans, Brits, Australians, there's men, there's women, there's academics, there's just good people who are producing good stuff. I'm just going to list them all and talk about them a bit. These are no particular order here. This is just a response to some of the questions I'm getting from people saying, where else can I go? Where else can I hear some of this stuff? And these are examples of people, I think, who are reading from below, who are aware that they are in places not of power and privilege, but are trying to find ways to follow Jesus without seeking to dominate over others. And there are people who sometimes are doing the groundwork for a lot of, some of these people I'm going to mention are the giants whose shoulders I'm standing on. I mentioned a while ago a guy named Keith Giles. He's worth looking at his blogs, especially one called The Shiny Red Button, which is his discussion about the abortion issue. Keith Giles is an interesting voice. Another person to follow, I would say, on Facebook or social media is somebody named Chris Green. Chris is a Pentecostal scholar who's doing some really important and interesting work on the racism in the Pentecostal movement at the roots of it. And he's not sniping from the outside. He is doing this with deep humility and repentance from the inside. And his is a voice well worth listening to. Oshetta Moore is a pastor in Minneapolis. And she is somebody who's well worth following on social media. Or if you can find her, listen to her speaking or read her books. Her husband, T.C. Moore, is also a pastor in Minneapolis, and I follow them and I enjoy their voice. Nova Reed, she's done a TEDx talk, and she also runs various programs and on social media and elsewhere on educating people about racism. So Nova Reed, I recommend that you follow her. Pastor Agu Irakuru is a pastor in London who does stuff on social media and out on public. He's a voice that's worth listening to. James Cohn is a theologian, a Black liberation theologian. The Cross and the Lynching Tree. In any case, James Cohn, C-O-N-E, is so worth having a look at. He's an absolute bedrock pillar for theology in this area. Richard Hayes is a man who's... Richard Hayes, first of all, is a scholar in, he's an American scholar, a biblical scholar, and I once heard him in a debate with Nigel Bigger, who is a very poor theologian who uses his position as a professor of Christian moral reasoning to defend war and nationalism. And he was having a public debate with Richard Hayes about, can the New Testament be used to justify military war or Christian involvement in war? And I have never heard somebody more roundly defeated in a debate than I heard this man being defeated by Richard Hayes. And Richard Hayes absolutely wiped the floor with this man. And he did it in a gracious and calm and kind and Christ-like way. I seriously have never seen a better example of public disagreement which was successful and solid and Christ-like. Richard Hayes is brilliant. His book, The Moral Vision of the New Testament, is an absolutely indispensable book for this kind of stuff. He's scholarly, so he's not writing at a popular level, but no joke, buy that book. Even if it's £50 or if it's $70, buy the book and engage with it. Richard Hayes. Richard Hayes, one of his colleagues, is Walter Brueggemann. Walter Brueggemann is essentially what Richard Hayes is to the New Testament, Walter Brueggemann is to the Old Testament. One of the kindest, wisest voices you're going to find talking about the Hebrew Scriptures. One of the kindest Christian voices you'll find talking about the Hebrew Scriptures. Walter Brueggemann, absolute pillar of this kind of material. And the fact that our conservative, evangelical, or charismatic friends don't know who Richard Hayes and Walter Brueggemann are is all you need to know about what's intellectually vacuous about most charismatic and evangelical circles. Moving on, in no particular order, Richard Beck, B-E-C-K. He runs an experimental theology blogspot. He's, again, just such a kind man. He's become a friend. And I can vouch for him as a kind person and a wonderful Christian. But before I ever met him, I was influenced by his books, especially one called The Slavery to Death, which is about the powers and principalities and how they relate to modern day institutions. And we will be talking about powers and principalities in a future episode. But Richard Beck Seek out his voice, seek out his words, if you can. Lucy Pepiat, she's the principal of Westminster Theological Centre. She's committed to peace. She's a New Testament scholar. She is a systematic theologian who could talk to you for hours about the beauty of the Trinity and then lead everyone in a worship session, including healing and words of knowledge. And she has also written some wonderful books on Paul and on the women in Paul's treatment of women. I recommend Lucy Pepiat. Tim Gombis, G-O-M-B-I-S. Gombis, he's a New Testament scholar in the States. Start to follow him on Facebook. Listen to his voice. He's doing stuff. He's coming from out of the evangelical circles, but he is a man who has recognized and rejected nationalism and patriotism. And he is biblically educated and articulate to a degree that you would rarely find. And he's worth listening to. Lisa Coons, she runs the 24/7 in America. Follow her voice. Listen to her. African-American lady. In fact, all the 24/7 movement I've been very impressed with. They are spiritually open. They are Holy Spirit passionate. They are charismatic. And they peace and justice is not an adjunct to their work. It's central to it. So with that in mind, also pay attention to Aaron White. Aaron is a Canadian. He runs 24/7 in Canada. Again, just you probably will never find somebody more literate, more widely read, more generous in his approach to things, and yet he is a rock-solid, spiritually aware person. Pete Gregg, who started the 24/7 movement, Pete Gregg's books, G-R-E-I-G, follow Gregg. I mean, one of his books, Dirty Glory, a fantastic book, life-changing in lots of ways. Many of you will be familiar with Brian Zand, Z-A-H-N-D. Brian Zand is a pastor, and he basically split his church when he realized that being a patriot warmonger wasn't something he could do as a charismatic evangelical. And he started a new path. Brian Zand is a wonderful voice, and his books are well worth listening to. Sinners in the Hands of a Loving God is a fantastic book. But again, so many things he says and does are worth looking at. Again, a really kind and lovely person as well. Tom Wright, N.T. Wright, famous scholar and Bible translator of the New Testament, famous Pauline scholar. Tom Wright is someone who is able to speak the evangelical language and yet who has an awareness of the political aspect of the New Testament as well and its implications. Staying with the scholarship, I cannot recommend William Kavanaugh highly enough. William Kavanaugh, C-A-V-A-N-A-U-G-H. Kavanaugh is a Roman Catholic scholar working in America. Kavanaugh's books, especially one called Migrations of the Holy, which is a collection of essays that he's written. You can find him online as well. But Migrations of the Holy will explain and describe in intellectually robust ways the development of the rise of the nation state as becoming the new source and home of sacredness and holiness, especially for Christians. And he helps to describe how the Protestant Reformation helped this process as well. Although, of course, it's not confined to Protestants. But Migrations of the Holy is a fantastic book. And he's also written other books, but William Kavanaugh is a voice I would look to if you're interested in how patriotism and theology, and also the deep theology of the Eucharist, how that stands against so much nationalism. William Kavanaugh's mentor is someone named Stanley Haurvas. Stanley Haurvas, H-A-U-E-R-W-A-S, one of the most influential, he's a Texan theologian, one of the most influential voices in this whole area. You need to read Stanley Haurvas. Stanley Haurvas, I'm looking at some of his books right now. One called War and the American Difference might be a very good place to start. It is from Haurvas that we get the idea that the church is an alternative political union and an alternative political imagination. Not a separation from the politics of this age, but a new and different and alternative way of doing politics. If you're feeling brave and up to it, engage with David Bentley Hart. Hart is an Orthodox, an American man, but an Orthodox scholar, and he has roundly recognized and condemned the Americanization of theology. And he's also highly aware of the problems and the pickles that charismatics and evangelicals get into because of their lack of engagement with the source texts. I recommend David Bentley Hart. If you want to see what it's like to be a full-on charismatic, signs and wonders, healing and words of knowledge, and also not a political moron, then please do check out my friend Bob Ekblad, E-K-B-L-A-D, Bob and his wife Gracie. Have such, I mean, what a good name. They're the most graceful couple you're ever going to meet. They have such an amazing ministry, teaching and traveling around the world. Check out the YouTube documentary, Liberating Fire, for more of Bob and Gracie. And then go and read his books and look at the stuff he does. Genuine New Testament scholarship, genuine spirit-filled life, and genuine political engagement. In ways that break all the normal bounds and bonds imposed on us by our tribalism of Christendom. Shane Claiborne is a famous American activist and author who's doing the stuff and living the life, and he's worth looking out for. Jonathan Martin is a podcaster and a preacher in the South, the American South. His podcasts are well worth seeking out, and as well as his voice on social media. The Nomad podcast has a whole lot of information and voices that you don't normally get to hear, represents a whole range of different ways of thinking Christianly about things and agreeing and disagreeing Christianly. The Nomad podcast, a UK-based podcast, but includes voices from all over the world, including mine, if you want to hear me talk more about nationalism and violence on the Nomad podcast. Azariah France Williams is a friend of mine. He's just about to write a book about racism, his experience of the Anglican Church and of ingrained racism in the systems of the Anglican Church. Azariah France Williams is also a voice that you can hear on podcasts and various times. He's a storyteller and he's a writer. And he's a priest working right now up in Manchester in the UK. Andrew Klager is a scholar and also the director of the Institute for Religion, Peace and Justice. And if you're interested in doing a master's degree, well, then do look out for the Institute for Religion, Peace and Justice. Andrew is coming out of, or came out of, an Anabaptist Mennonite peace tradition, but he's now moved into the Orthodox Church, but he's kept a lot of the same desires and issues, and he's able to speak into that from an Orthodox point of view. Justin Bronson Barringer, Barringer, has edited a book called A Faith Not Worth Fighting For, Addressing Commonly Asked Questions About Christian Nonviolence. I've been immensely helped by Barringer's essays on anarchism, Christian anarchism, and the peace movements. He's a politically sophisticated writer who has a real sense of the alternative politics of Christianity, especially in the New Testament. But his book, A Faith Not Worth Fighting For, the book he's edited, draws together lots of different voices who are all addressing these commonly opposed questions when it comes to Christians and their political stance towards the state and violence. And I'm sure I'll be referring to this in future times, but do check out that book. The musician and writer and sometimes co-host of the Nomad podcast, David Benjamin Blower, a few years ago, he published a book on Jonah, very slim little volume, which was a political theology reflection / Bible study on the book of Jonah. And I'm not joking, this is one of the best theology books I've ever read. Blower is not an academic theologian, he's an educated theologian. He's not a professional academic, but he has written a book with insight and beauty, which I recommend to everybody, unreservedly. And also he writes songs and produces his own music around these issues. He's informed politically by Christianity, and we need to have more voices heard like his. Likewise, check out the novelist Marilyn Robinson. check out her novels, Gilead and others, and also find her essays that she's written. I don't think you'll find anybody who's smarter and wiser and more deeply Christian than Marilynne Robinson, an American woman who's writing right now. Always worth looking out for. And she's not writing from within the little bubble of self-approved patriotic evangelicalism. Another good example of somebody working from within the evangelical or the slightly evangelical subculture is the Post-Consumer Reports podcast. Christopher Marchand, he's an American evangelical Anglican priest who's able to recognize and reject nationalism when he sees it and is able to engage people in some wonderful conversations, not all of them politically based at all, just intelligent, friendly conversation on his podcast. The Come to the Table podcast by Sean McCoy also brings together voices that you normally wouldn't hear, and he engages people in a friendly, open-minded, open-hearted conversation. I recommend Come to the Table. The Californian pastor and activist and author David Moore. Now, there's more than one David Moore who's a pastor in California, and if you Google it, you'll find out which one I'm not talking about. The one I am talking about is the man who wrote Making America Great Again, Fairy Tale, Horror Story, Dream Come True. This, David N. Moore, is well worth listening to, and his is a voice that I'm just starting to get to know. And I was introduced to it through an interview with Brad Jerzak. Brad spoke to David Moore on an online YouTube interview, which is well worth looking up. And Brad Jerzak is a voice that I think I just would recommend everybody to read his books and to try and listen to him. Listen to him on podcasts with Jonathan Martin. Listen to him on his podcasts with The Nomad. And look at his books, The More Christ-Like God and A More Christ-Like Way. All of Brad's books are good, but I really recommend those two, especially for anyone interested in this kind of stuff. His background checks all the boxes for the charismatic worship leader, and yet he is not singing from those same hymn sheets that we're so used to. He's biblically educated, he's theologically rich, he's historically rooted, he has connections to ancient spirituality practices, he's politically interesting and engaging. He's a really kind person. And he's, in some ways, if you are somebody who enjoys, for example, Bill Johnson, I was reading Bill Johnson's book, God is Good, He's Better Than You Think. And I was reading that at the same time as I was reading Brad Jerzak's A More Christ-Like God. And in the end, I just stopped reading Johnson's book because Brad was saying everything that Johnson was trying to say, and he was saying it in a way that was truer, better, more grounded, more well-written, more contextual, and more biblically sound and philosophically robust, and which recognized the political implications of its own foundations. And Jerzak is leading people into a more Christ-like way, and he knows what that means, and he understands what that looks like. And so his is the last book that I want to recommend on this particular podcast. These lists are not exhaustive, and there is a lot more going on in this world, but these might be some people. If you start to look at these people and then look at the other names and voices that they listen to and watch and are influenced by, you'll begin to populate a new library for yourself, a new network of voices and information and people, scholarly, academic, practical, political, popular, creative, worshipful, spirit-led. None of these people are nationalists. None of them are beholden to the partisan ideology wars. None of them have an imagination that has been colonized and captured by patriotism. So you would go a lot less wrong, less often, if you started listening to some of these voices and people like them. So in answer to some of your questions, these would be my suggestions for equipping people as they become followers of the way.